No, I can't, I'm sure that was in the main plant out in Burbank for this young kid. I wish I could remember his name, too. I'd like to know whatever happened to him. Now, whether, and then we moved over to the other plant, and I'm sure that, you know, for the whole company, there was, maybe that's where I started to be a shop steward. I don't even remember that either. Or maybe I was from time to time in all the different plants where I worked at a shop steward from time to time. And I just wish I could recall one grievance, specific grievance that we handled, but it does not come to me at all. I just can't think of, can't remember any one incident. But we wouldn't have paid that much attention to things like specifically discriminating against women at that time anyway, because women expected to be discriminated. I mean, it was nothing. You didn't know you were being discriminated against, really. It was it was a long time before I felt. In fact, I think that hit me real hard where this woman that I was talking about, this why she couldn't be moved up to supervision, because she had seniority over the fellas, the men who were in charge, and they had to go and ask her about, you know, how to do the work. And that struck me as being real odd. I remember asking, why don't they upgrade you to at least to lead person? And she said, because women can't work in supervision. Women are, you know. And I accepted her explanation at that time. I guess I thought about it a lot afterwards, but I didn't say, well, you know, what the heck, why don't we start doing something about that now? Here you are. That isn't fair. I felt it wasn't fair, but I didn't. I guess you have to have lived back in that time, because everybody took everything. You know, that's the way it's always been, and we're just not going to make any waves and try to change anything. And I don't, I guess I got inspired by Martin Luther King to be a part of trying to change some of the, because as you get older, I guess certain periods in your life, you're just interested in different things, and you just don't pay that much attention. You follow, you know, the set pattern, and that's what's wrong with people. They don't, and maybe I started to question, I don't know. But I always felt that we should change, but I guess you wait till you find a few more people that feel the same as you do before you can, you know, get anything going. But I always felt we could change a lot of things. But I never felt, well, I don't know, maybe I felt, it just never occurred to me that women were discriminated against that much. It just never, that's just the way it worked. Women are second-class citizens, and if you're a woman, that's the way you want to be, right? You just want to be a second-class citizen, and then maybe after a little while, you get tired of being second class. And you see what the first class is like. It's going to move up. After all, I'm paying the same dues, why can't I? But I'm very happy. I'm so happy. I think the most important thing with the equal rights movement is that when it first came out, I can remember it was just a big joke, and that all the people, all the women that were involved or would come out publicly and say something were referred to as lesbians, as you say. It was something, you know, something they're not real women, really. They're just not real women. And I was so happy that the women didn't just back off and let that stop them, because there's certainly a lot of wonderful women in the movement, because they didn't let anything stop them, except maybe Ronald Reagan. May set it back a little ways, I don't know. But California's already got theirs, so I don't think he can change that. I hope not. I wish that he were a little more progressive thinking in that direction. And of course, that's not just women, which is so wonderful. Like, it never occurred to me that handicapped people would want to go to a concert if they could wheel their wheelchair up there. That just never came to my mind. Now, I'd be very glad to wheel your wheelchair up and try to help you, but it never occurred to me to let this person do it on their own. And I think things like that people just wake up gradually. I mean, I just think it's wonderful that we are. And then you always expected an older person to sit in a rocking chair and knit or read or doze or something. You never expected them to want to be out and go places like other people. Just, you know, you never, I don't know why I guess we just have this concept after you hit 40, you're over the hill, and you just don't do things anymore. And I don't see any reason why a person, if they're 100 and still able to get around, shouldn't just go and have the same, have it made just as comfortable for them to get out and to go places as for someone that's 16 that has all the strength and energy in the world. And I think that we just don't, I was just real happy when I saw that making it accessible to wheelchairs. It just never occurred to me. I always felt you had to have someone to help you, otherwise you just couldn't go and do it. And I would be very happy to be that someone to help you, but it never came to my mind to fix it so you can do it yourself, because you're going to wait for me, you're going to be a long time, you know, and other persons like myself. Unless you could have just a person assigned specifically to you and your needs, which certainly wouldn't even out all across the United States. So that, things like that have impressed me no end. I'm just so happy that someone thought to let this person do it on their own. Because I think that the attitude towards disabled people in my time of growing up was always to be either to make fun of them and feel that they were different, or to be very protective, which my attitude was always to be very protective towards them, which is just as wrong. You know, let them be people like everybody else. And I'm so happy that that was made clear to me, at least, and I hope to a lot of other people who had never thought of it before. And that women certainly are capable of handling situations is the same as any male. And I don't feel that, in fact, I think a lot of men secretly are relieved, because a lot of men don't want to be, you know, to have all that responsibility either. They're just happy to have the women take over. It's just that it's such a new thing, such a new experience. But I'm certainly happy for the movement, and I do everything in my power to hope that every state in the union would get around to supporting that. I certainly would hope so. And that includes everyone, whatever year. But I'm real glad, because I can remember they made fun of Bella, the one with the hat.
Bella Abzug.
Yeah, they made terrible fun of that wonderful woman. In fact, I think Carter even insulted her. And persons like her who had the courage to come out and, well, I guess that there you go again, that the women's rights movement really started with Eleanor Roosevelt, but we didn't recognize it at the time. And, of course, they wouldn't allow her except that her husband was disabled. So, by accident, there you go. And I would say that was the beginning. And I would say the beginning of the civil rights movement with Eleanor Roosevelt. I credit her with an awful lot. I think she was such a wonderful human being. But I think that was the beginning, the little awakening of women's rights there, because she showed her capability. And I don't know, without too much resentment, I would say, too. I don't know what miracle brought that about. Maybe the timing was right, or she had a disabled husband, something.
Did you listen a lot to her during the 40s?
Oh, goodness, yes. Whatever she did, I think I've read every article she ever wrote. Don't ask me to remember any of them now. Yes, I just thought she was such a wonderful person. So much before her time, I think, is what was important with her. Oh, goodness, yes. They criticized this piece. In fact, I took a what do you call it, speech lessons or voice or something. I took that course over here at Venice Adult School. My teacher was the student of the same teacher that of Eleanor Roosevelt, because, you know, her speech was so criticized. I think she spoke quite well, maybe. But anyway, this teacher that I had, don't hold it against her, because she probably was impossible what she had to work with. But I tried real hard. I was going to lose my accent in that class, but I didn't. She probably got gray hair and ulcers, but I didn't lose anything. But anyway, I felt real honored that my teacher over there was a student of the same teacher that was going to improve Eleanor Roosevelt's voice and her speaking, which I don't remember whether she changed that much or not, her speaking. I liked it the way it was anyway, because it's not so much as how you're saying it, I think, as to what you're saying. And she certainly was saying the right thing. She just was an amazing person. And I hope nobody reveals any terrible secrets in her life. Like they're always coming up, you know, digging in the closet and bringing out the skeleton. I hope not, because I really think she was an extraordinary person.
Were there other people like that that influenced you a lot early?
No, I'm sure. PDE, Black Lives Matter, and people with a lot of courage, maybe because I don't have that much at home. Sure, I'm sure. I think Eleanor Roosevelt influenced the whole country. Too bad we don't have another one, huh? Another Eleanor Roosevelt. It's kind of disappointing, though, with her sons. The sons never really did anything. You know, she had a big family. I expected something, but it didn't happen. Although they certainly were charming people, because we had, was it Jimmy that ran here for our representative for all years? He was very close, very accessible person, and very warm and friendly. We used to work his campaigns here all the time. He didn't need any help. He really was a very nice person, but not serious or capable like his parents, you know. Just I think he just moved on their name, probably, so that sort of thing. But he was a very charming person.
During the war years, were you involved in politics, political work?
No, not really. I'm sure I always voted, but I don't remember who, any specific, getting involved in any specific. I voted, I think. I registered to vote when I was 21, and I voted every time since then. But with or without much enthusiasm, as the case may have been until, I was just trying to remember one campaign that I got, the first campaign that I got really involved and enthusiastic with, but I don't remember it. I really don't. Although I had certainly been involved in a lot of campaigns. The most, I guess the saddest and the most rewarding one would have been Bobby Kennedy. Those were really, really nice people. With Jack Kennedy, I must have been active before that, because one of his, either his sister or his mother called and invited me to a breakfast. And I must have been, because, well, we worked a lot with, I guess so. I used to go to all the Democratic things around here and all that stuff. I must have been, because I was thinking now, I must have been involved. Why would they have called me personally on the phone? And of course they weren't known to, you know, across the country then at that time either. They were very, very nice. I can't remember whether it was the mother or the sister, because his sister did call me afterwards, but I think it was his mother that called and invited me to this breakfast somewhere up here, you know, in Los Angeles. And I really just wasn't too impressed, because I thought about that afterwards, after I, you know, told him I was sorry I couldn't go because I was working. Well, you know, I should have taken off work and gone, but, you know, you just, that's the way, I thought about that afterwards. Why in the world, you know, you were the star, you took one day off from work, when could have even been just a half a day, you could have gone there with a breakfast. And then he was at Jack Kennedy was at a supermarket over here in Torrance, which some friend of mine that lived over there said, oh, you know, Flo, come on, you've got to get down here and meet this gorgeous person that's going to be the next president of the United States. And I said, oh, you know, Torrance is such a long way. And she had her, I guess she was real active with the group down there that was working in his election. I can't remember what friend it was now. And she said, you come on, because I guarantee you shake hands with him, because we're going to be right there on the podium or beside the podium or something. And I said, so I didn't go. But I sure wished I had afterwards, when, you know, he turned out to be such a, but he was unknown, and I just wasn't that enthusiastic. Don't ask me about Bobby's campaign, because, geez, if I knew he was coming anywhere, I was there with a big group, and we were, son of a gun. He came to Venice. Bobby's the only, well, Humphrey, I think, would have come if that bunch of idiots down there at the beach hadn't put out all that scare. They weren't going to do anything. They put a what was it? They had these great big old signs all around here, picture of a frog calling him, and I think that, you know, security decided that it wouldn't be a safe thing for him to do, but Bobby Kennedy rode all through Venice, and he reached out and touched the people. He really was wonderful. And this fellow that we, he had to bring his, it's real sad too with Bobby Kennedy, he had to bring his people from Boston over here to work his campaign because the Democrats just didn't, they just didn't, they just weren't doing what they should have been doing. And we worked with this real nice gentleman. He sent each one of us, in fact, Linda, who's our credit union manager now, we had a headquarters for Bobby Kennedy here, she, her husband, and I, and some of the other neighborhood people around here, and Manderville. He sent us a, I still have it, what do you call those things from Bobby's funeral, Mike? I thought that, I was just so touched with that. He sent one to every one of us. This is Mrs. Lewis, and he has since died. I don't know if I have a picture. Let me quickly look for a picture of Miss Lewis. I got full of dust in that clean house, too. This Mrs. Lewis, a real, real active person. That's me and my granddaughter when she was a whole lot younger. And evidently I was too, huh? I don't know, somebody was getting an award someplace. I don't know. But she was, we had every voter and all over Los Angeles registered. And that was so sad with Bobby Kennedy. We had a terrible incident down here at the at our voting place, you know, in the primary. Of course, California has a partisan primary. And they had a, he was a Republican guy that worked the polls. And you know that he claimed that every one of those machines were broken, and he wouldn't let a single Democrat vote. We had a terrible time. That's why I just love this Mr. Manderville. He's such a sweet thing. So we tried, you know, to get some attention down there. When you call down to the election people on election day, forget it, because they don't pay any attention to you at all. But we had a real hard time, and finally we got an inspector to come out and look at the machines. And of course, there wasn't a damn thing wrong with them. And they had to hold that poll open until about 9:30 at night to let the people come in. And they stayed in line. That shows, you know, I no wonder they killed Bobby, because really he had the people behind him. And then, you know, he went to visit Caesar when he was on that fast, Bobby Kennedy came. And also when Caesar was in jail down in Salinas, Ethel came personally, and so did Coretta King. They both came to visit him, which was so nice. Those kind of, you know, we had something going there. But then you see, they do stop. They do. They kill the people. There's Martin Luther King's dead. Bobby Kennedy's dead. Jack Kennedy's dead. And these are people that I thought were really sincere about changing things, changing the United States into what we claim that we have, but we don't. We really don't. But anyway, we had a hard time. And then after this election, that was a real sad, upsetting thing. After the election was over, I had said, you know, that this guy would never work another poll. Well, I'm only one little person, so they for the next election, they had him set up as to head another poll. Well, I take that back. I did not go to Alan Cerrone. He keeps reminding me of that, because I remind the Democrats of that over and over. I went to all the Democrats and said, you know, we're not going to let this guy that did this terrible thing, because that was awful. Not even one Democrat machine. Everyone was broken, according to him. He had them set out in another room. He was allowing only Republicans to vote. And that's unheard of. That hasn't been that long ago. Really, that was really silly. They had him set up, and I made sure that I checked on that ahead of time. They had him set up to work the poll, in charge of the poll the next election. And you know, and I did not ask Alan Cerrone. I did not, but he was supporting another candidate, not Bobby at that time, so he was not involved in that, but I certainly did go to the other Democrats. And we had to make a phone call to Mr. Manderville all the way where in the hell are the Kennedys from? Well, yeah, and Mr. Manderville had to call his registrar's office over here to stop that son of a gun, and I've never forgiven the Democrats for that either, because I really think that one of them could have done the same thing. But it only took one phone call from over there to this guy had never worked another poll. And I check every year to make sure, too, I'll tell you that. Now, I can see, you know, being partisan and all that, but when you keep every Democrat at one polling place, and these are heavy, they, at that time, they were very heavily registered precincts, and of course, they're all Democrats. There aren't 15 Republicans voting there. And I just can't get over that either, but, and I'm so happy that I didn't go to the celebration. I was, actually, the reason that I didn't go when Bobby got shot out there was because we stayed down. I had to stay there that thing until it closed, and it was so late, and I was so tired that I decided that, you know, I knew we had a winner. What's the point in going? But I sure didn't expect what happened. Although he was shot at twice, you know, when he was campaigning here. They kept that real quiet. Yeah, from an overpass when he was going on the freeway. Now, this is real sad, too, because he was in Watts. Somebody took his shoes off in Watts, if I'm not mistaken, or he gave him, threw his shoe in the crowd or something for a souvenir. And I know coming through Venice, he touched everybody. There's no, you know, no, absolutely no problem. This is all outside of here, and I think that's terrible. I feel there certainly is a connection between all those deaths, too, because they were people that, they really had the people behind them. But then, maybe we'll get another Martin Luther King, another Bobby Kennedy, and another Jack Kennedy. But I feel that they felt Bobby was a real threat. Because no one else went to see Cesar Chavez. No one else gave that support. And they certainly supported and voted for him, I'll tell you that. Well, that's too sad now. Let's talk about something else.